Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. There's a subject, the subject kingdom of mind, as I was thinking about today, was the subject that we'll be thinking about this week more, Thanksgiving. It's a subject that I've probably preached on a number of times, probably almost as many as any other given subject. There's a lot of different aspects to it. I think, do we need Thanksgiving this morning? Do we need to be reminded of that? And I think for the most part we're a thankful people, but we're going to talk about several things that work against us and try to destroy that. And it's good for me to think about it and be reminded of it again, to realize what all Thanksgiving means and think a little bit about how thankful we should be. I want to start with a little account that some of you may have heard before. I would have shared here before, but I'm just going to start with that. Anyway, many years ago, there's a story told of a devout king who was disturbed by the ingratitude of his royal court. Don't know if that's, well, you can picture. You can picture royalty. You can picture those that are very blessed are often the ones that are least thankful. He prepared a large banquet for them. When the king and his royal guests were seated, by prearrangement, he had a beggar come shuffling in, sit down at the royal table, sit down at the king's table, and gorged himself with food. You can picture him digging into the king's meat, the vegetables, the all the rich desserts, and just gorging himself on them, enjoying them to the full. And then without saying a word, he got up and left the room. The guests were furious and asked permission to seize the tramp and tear him limb from limb for his ingratitude. The king replied, "That beggar has done only once to an earthly king what each of you does three times each day to God. You sit there at a table and eat until you are satisfied, and then you walk away without recognizing God or expressing one word of thanks to him." And it's a pretty pointed illustration. Maybe helps us to think a little bit what it must seem like to God. We get so used to the blessings we have and having three full meals a day and all those things, and we just start taking them for granted. And how must it look from God's perspective when he knows that we wouldn't have anything without him? And he blesses us with them time after time, day after day. And we just start taking them for granted, not even thinking much about it. Thanksgiving. Thankful to who? Who should we be thankful to? And in a way, it's very simple, and yet a humanist would say we should be thankful to ourselves. And our pride tells us we should be thankful to ourselves. We've done good things. We've worked hard. We've made right choices. And we owe ourselves thanks. Is that where our thanks belongs? Many people have done a tremendous amount of things for us, our parents and many others around us. And we do owe them thanks. But finally, thanksgiving begins and ends with God. In between, he blesses us with a lot of other people. And many other people make contributions to our lives. But thanksgiving begins and ends with God. Finally, it goes back to him. The Psalm 35:28, "My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." It speaks a little bit of our worldview, our thinking, our perspective on life. If our perspective on life is about ourselves, we don't have a lot of thanks going out from us. But if we see God as the giver and the controller of things, the one who directs life, the one who brings all the blessings into our life, as the Bible says. And if we're talking about him, our lives are going to be expressing thanksgiving, expressing thanksgiving to Him. Is it possible to be thankful to God the way we should be and not be thankful to other people? Just another question to think about as we go through this. Is it possible to be thankful to God the way we should be and not be thankful to those around us? How much is our thankful heart going to show? How much is it going to be demonstrated? And said I've preached about this a number of times and not jotted down some notes for the next message on how Thanksgiving shows itself, what different ways Thanksgiving shows itself. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning, but there's lots of different ways that Thanksgiving is demonstrated. Now, I said that Thanksgiving is under attack, or there's several different things that tend to steal our gratitude. There's three things that I've listed, three things that keep us from being thankful. And of course, the one is our pride. It's the attitude that says, nobody ever gives me anything. I have to work hard for everything I have. And, you know, I've worked hard all my life and it's finally paying off. Finally realizing what I've worked for. And we can think of the account of Nebuchadnezzar. I kind of picture that as being the way Nebuchadnezzar was. And I want to turn there. Daniel chapter 4, verse 30 is where he was expressing that. But I think his attitude totally changed. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30, his perspective on life, his perspective on his kingdom and all that was set up, the way it was running so smoothly and there was so much there. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" It was all about himself. His pride totally took over. He didn't have thanks for anybody else. He didn't need anybody else. There was no one else that helped him get there from his perspective. Of course, the very next verse, God set him back, helped him to understand that a lot more clearly, a lot more accurately. And then you get down to verse 37, his tune had changed. And he was looking at it a whole lot more realistically. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven." It was no longer about himself, but all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. He knew that very well. But all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar went from someone who was could only see himself and all the praise and thanks was going to him, to him seeing God for who he truly was. And his praise and honor and glory went to God instead. We can be a lot like that. We don't take credit like Nebuchadnezzar did. But our pride likes to show itself in a lot of different ways. And there's a lot of different ways that we like to give ourselves credit for our heritage or our decisions or our choices or our friends or whatever. The things that we've done. We like to start taking a bit of credit for that, and that destroys our being thankful the way we should. The second attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit or constant complaining. The idea of being critical, and instead of being grateful, we look at for something to complain about, something that's not right about the things we receive. You don't need to turn to it. Romans 8:28 is a common verse we're familiar with. "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." We know that all things work together for good. I'm just impressed how big our God is and how many times it looks to us like something happened wrong, something didn't go the way it should have. But from God's perspective, everything that happens to those who are following Him, to those that are doing His will, the things that He brings into their life are all for good. And we can't explain that. We don't fully understand that. There's things that happen that we absolutely do not understand. But we can have the confidence that He has a purpose and a plan, and it's accomplishing what He wants it to. Now, we know the way it is. It's so easy for us to have that critical spirit. I don't know. I suppose it's a part of our carnal nature. We tend to look at the negatives. We tend to look at the things that are wrong with, and we receive a gift, and we can get to the point where we see what's wrong with it. It should have been bigger. It should have been different. It should have been this. It should have been a different brand. It should have been this or that or the other thing. God brings things into our life. He has us here in Pennsylvania. We look at the things that are wrong with it, and He may call us to go wherever. We think of the parents we have. We think of the things that He's provided us with so graciously, and we tend to find things that are wrong with them. We tend to find things that we wish were different. We wish were better. We wish we'd have better health. We wish we'd have more of this or more of that. And we should have more strength, more ability, more wisdom. But God, and we go to God for wisdom. But there's many different things that God has given us that we can get critical of. We can become unthankful in that way. Critical or complaining spirit works against thankfulness. God help us to see the good in the things that we receive and see what He wants us to be receiving from them. The third attitude that keeps us from being grateful is carelessness. Simply, just not paying attention and not being careless, getting used to things and not thinking about them the way we should. Someone has once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we would stay out all night to watch them. But they are there every night, and we grow so used to them that we don't even think about them or aren't amazed with them very much. And that's a very, very, that touches us in very practical ways. We can look at the Israelites, the way they received manna and quail from heaven. Received food from heaven, and they complained about it. They got so used to it that they took it for granted and started to grumble about it. It was the same thing every day. And yet it was a blessing from heaven, blessing directly from God. God was providing it to them in a miraculous way. But they got so used to it, they no longer considered it worthy of thanks. They started complaining and grumbling. So those are some things that keep us or work against us being as thankful as we should. Remembering to be thankful. All right, I have three different thoughts about Thanksgiving, understanding Thanksgiving. First one is that Thanksgiving should be expressed. Thanksgiving needs to be shown, needs to be expressed. And let's turn to Psalm 100. I'll look at several of the psalms here. Let's turn to Psalm 100. And you can sense the thanksgiving welling up in the psalmist's heart as he gives this psalm. He's just full of gratitude to God. He's seeing and marveling at God, who God truly is and what God's done for him. But it's almost more worship than thinking a whole lot about himself and what he's received, but it's worship to God. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, O ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come in before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Get a little picture there of what thanksgiving looks like. It expresses itself as worship to God, going to his house, going into his gates, praising him. That's talking about what we say with our mouth and what we talk about with our mouth, what occupies our words, and being thankful to him and blessing his name. It's an expression from the heart, and it affected his actions there also. Now, turn back a couple psalms to Psalm 107. And I want to read verses 1 through 15 here. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 15. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. This was without God. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, are afflicted. I'm sorry, I'm going on beyond where... I'm just going to stop at verse 15 there. But you notice the way God, the view of God, he allows men, out of the goodness of his heart, he allows men in their evil to suffer, to help them to understand their evil heart. And as soon as they turn to him and call on him, he delivers them. He delivers them, brings them out of that trouble, and shows himself strong, shows himself a wonderful God, breaks their bands in sunder, and delivers them. And we've each experienced that deliverance. We've each experienced that, and we can give thanks to God for that. Just examples of the way we express thanksgiving gets expressed to God and others, the way it shows itself. We should express our thanks to God and to others. And he's certainly showing his praise to God here, and others are also seeing it too. All right, the second main point I have is that our thanksgiving should be have the word expansive or includes a lot of different things. Our Thanksgiving includes many different things. Turn back several psalms to 92. Psalm 92. We have a lot more to thank God for than just any one thing, than just our salvation. We can go down a whole list, and it'd be worthwhile for us to spend our time enumerating, as we say different times, the many things that God has done for us. Psalm 92, and I want to read this psalm also. Psalm 92. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Think about the different things that the psalmist is praising God for as we read this psalm. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The verse 2 stands out there. Show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. God really sustains our life. Our very life, the fact that we are alive and exist, we owe to God. And he provides us the things we need each morning and each night, every day. And the many things that come against us, he uses an example of enemies. But there's many other things there that challenge us or that come and work against us that I think we could fit in there also. And the things that work against us, things that come up against us, he delivers us from. He helps us to overcome. The righteous shall flourish in verse 12. He's talking about a tree growing. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. It's talking about daily nourishment. I mean, things don't flourish unless they're receiving nutrients and nourishment on a daily basis. I try to start some plants, and don't have very much of a green thumb like some of you do. But I'm a little bit erratic with it. I water them, and then I forget about it for about a week, and then I water them again. And that doesn't work very well. It takes more like daily nourishment to make something grow and to thrive. God provides the daily things that we need to survive and to exist and to thrive and to be what he wants us to be. Our very life belongs, we owe to him. So our Thanksgiving should include our existence and our life and our the way we do very well. Now, the blessings The blessings that we receive, of course, are also from him. Back to Psalm 107, which we had read, but I want to pick out a couple other verses there. Psalm 107. First verse, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy is given to us, verses 8 and 9. Oh, the man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He does things for us. And it's more than just the essentials. It's blessings beyond that. It's things that we don't in any way deserve. He satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul. Fills us up. And verse 41 through 43, the end, last several verses there. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. He sets the poor on high from affliction, maketh his families like a flock. He gives the poor the things that normally the rich people enjoy. Normally the exalted ones of the earth would enjoy. The righteous shall see and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. The person's going to be exalted. The person's going to be receive many things that they don't deserve. Verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, if we pay attention to what God does for us, we're going to realize what all he has done. We're going to realize the many things that he has blessed us with and his loving kindness to us. Our thanksgiving should also include the burdens of life, but the challenges of life, the things that are not so easy too. We should be thankful for those things also. Turn to Acts 28. Acts 28, and verse 14 and 15, he's thankful for the brethren that came to comfort him. But notice what he's in the middle of. Paul is a captive, and he's on his way to Rome to be tried and to be put to death. We need to be thankful. The Apostle Paul needed to be thankful also. And sometimes when we're in dark situations or difficult situations, we have a hard time being thankful, we say. Well, the Apostle Paul here was on his way to trial by the Romans and was captive on the ship, all these things. And he was looking for things to be thankful for. They were in preparation. They were shipwrecked later on this chapter, I believe. He was caught with that viper. It's a prior chapter. He was shipwrecked, and he had been bitten by that viper. In this chapter, but verse 14 and 15. Well, let's start at verse 12. Verse 12, landing at Syracuse, we tarried 3 days, and from thence we fetched a compass, came to this other city. And after one day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to the next city, where we found brethren. We were desired to tarry with them 7 days, And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apollium, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. I guess the thing that stood out to me was in the midst of those difficult situations, Paul met his friends, and his conversation wasn't what a terrible situation he was and how he was being mistreated and what was going to become of him when he got to his destination and how terrible it was to be a Christian these days. That wasn't what his conversation was about. But he received these friends, and he was comforted, and he was thankful in the midst of that. And I guess I see that as a challenge for me. No matter how dark your situation looks, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what you're in the middle of, the Apostle Paul set an example of looking for things to be thankful for and finding comfort and thanksgiving with his friends. And that stands as being different than many times when we're in a difficult situation, we meet up with our friends, our conversation goes the other direction. What is our conversation like as we talk to our friends, as we talk to others? All right, the third thing about Thanksgiving, for third main point of Thanksgiving, is our Thanksgiving is expected. Our Thanksgiving is commanded. We are to be thankful people. And Thanksgiving is something that a Christian is going to be producing. Thanksgiving is something that's is a mark of a growing Christian, someone who is becoming more of a Christian, becoming more like Christ, is becoming more thankful. And back in Psalm 107, verse 43, you don't need to turn back there, but whoso is wise will observe these things. Well, and that was one of the last verses we noted there. If we're a wise person, we're going to observe those things, and we're going to pay attention to what God has done for us. We're going to pay attention to the things that God's doing. And we're going to understand them, understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And that's going to make us more thankful. Now, let's turn to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1, and I'm going to read verses 11 to 17. Thinking about a growing Christian or someone who's becoming more like Christ and putting on thanksgiving. 1 Timothy 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. The apostle Timothy, or Timothy was ordained and taking up leadership here. He was taking up responsibility to preach the gospel. The gospel was committed to his trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious. But I obtained, no, I'm sorry, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy and saying that we need to be like that. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So the Apostle Paul, as he was there and he realized who he had been and he realized what God had done for him, it made him thankful. It brought out the thankfulness in him. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. the Apostle Paul didn't take the credit to himself. He realized that it was Christ that had brought him to where he was and was going to help him to continue to grow. Our thanksgiving is expected. If the Apostle Paul was a thankful person, thanked Christ for making him who he was, we also should do likewise. We are to be thankful. Second way we express our thanksgiving is by being a giving Christian. Again, a couple verses from Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verses 21 and 22 says this: "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." And so the question is, what are the sacrifice? Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. What are the sacrifices of thanksgiving? Sacrifice speaks of something that we give up, something that we give to another. If we're going to be sacrificing the sacrifices of thanksgiving, there's something that we give if we're thankful. There's something that we give up to show our thanksgiving. Turn to Psalm 50, verse 14. I do want to read this verse. Psalm 50 and verse 14. And notice how it says it. Psalm 50, verse 14. "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Now, is thanksgiving words of gratitude, or is it actions, or is it both? Offer unto God thanksgiving. That makes it almost sound like it's not so much words as actually things that we're giving. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows. Or it could be words too. It could be words of thanks. But or offering unto God thanksgiving and paying thy vows unto the Most High. It definitely has the idea that we're going to be, our thankfulness is going to express itself. It's going to give expression as in words and as in other tangible things that we give for the sake of Christ as thanksgiving, to show our thanksgiving to him. Now, the last point in relation to our thanksgiving is expected, or that we do give thanksgiving. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And I want you to tell me if, or think about if there's any relation here. It talks about the peace of God, and it talks about thanksgiving. Let's see if I can find it here. Colossians 3:15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And again, we can notice the context here. This is a chapter that has a lot of different things in it. We're dead in Christ, verse 3. Verse 2, "Set your affection on things above. Mortify, therefore, your members." Verse 5. "Put on things," in verse 8. "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another." Verse 13. "Put on charity." Verse 14. "And let the peace of God rule your hearts, and be ye thankful. And then it goes on and talks about husband-wife relationships and those kind of things. It's kind of in the context of the whole Christian life, the whole scope of Christian life. And let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful to Him. It's kind of the idea, well, we could say a glowing Christian, a Christian that's showing what it's like to be, to truly serve Christ, and that peace that's coming out of his life and the thanksgiving that's coming out of his life fits and goes along with that. It's part of it. And we know we'd all rather be around someone who's thankful than someone who's critical or complaining or looking at the negative side of life. It's much more attractive for us to be with someone who is thankful, someone who is thankful. It's a mark of a glowing Christian, someone who has the peace of God in their hearts will be thankful. Psalmist is right. In Psalm 92, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And we could almost look at that several different ways. It's proper for us to see what God's done for us and to give Him thanks. It's a good thing to give God thanks because of what it does for us also, because it helps us to realize that we owe Him for what we've done, what we have, what we've received, for the many different things that we have. Don't let our thoughts dwell on ourselves, but if we think about God, if we have a proper perspective of Him, it helps us to be thankful the way we should. And God help us as we go through this week, and as we go through the coming year, and as we go through life, to not take credit to ourselves, but to see God for who He truly is, recognize and notice the things that He's done for us, and to thank Him the way we should.